Hey, Castle Rock fans, welcome back to the Castle Rock After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. Tonight, we are breaking down Episode 6, Filter. We're talking memories. Who's recovering them? Who's losing them? The ringing is the schisma. And Ruth, what happened? Stick around.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Show really does have a way with music, I must say.
Yes.
I'm always pleasantly surprised with what we hear. But other than that, I'm also just fried with the information we got.
Oh my god, it was information overload for Margaret.
Right?
I felt like I was in a PhD class at Northwestern
taking
or something.
Taking notes.
Yeah, like, what is happening?
It literally went in one ear and out the other. I was like, huh, what's going on?
Yeah, I had to like write a lot of this. I have 2 pages of notes today. Usually I just have one, like quick pages of thoughts. I've got 2 today.
Got so much time.
Yeah.
All right. What's up, guys? I'm your host, Veronica Valencia, and today I am joined by a great group of panelists. How about y'all introduce yourself?
How's it going? I'm Jorge Payo.
Hey, everybody. Zia here.
And April Dawn.
And coming up later in the show, of course, we're going to talk about Henry's memories, the schisma, as well as Ruth. And we also got some special fan shoutouts, as well as spooky announcements and some big news, so stick around for that. But before we get into any of it, overall thoughts, guys. What do we think of this?
Oofta.
Yeah.
that's all I have to say.
That's perfect.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah.
You put it up. It's beautiful. We just end there. That's literally it.
So much happened, and then it leads you to a point where you're like, okay, I've learned so much from this episode, but it's still not everything. I mean, obviously, the season's only like roughly halfway done, but still, it leads you to this one point where you're like, okay, I'm understanding more. I still don't understand what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I love how they do that.
I feel like there was a lot of setup for like the future of the show as well, though, watching this episode. Like, they opened it up to a whole bevy of opportunities and universes, if you will. You know?
And that's I like that they did that. And they're saying that it's a possible connection to the Dark Tower.
Right.
Which is, I haven't read those novels, but I have seen the movie. And it's just different. It's like they were saying, different universes.
Right.
And I'm curious if they're going to go that route. But it could possibly explain why so much happens in that town.
It could. And explains that lake a lot, too.
Yeah.
That Castle Lake. Because everybody's so interested in that lake. And that lake being this supernatural force. And maybe that lake itself is a doorway. Right?
What about you, April?
Ooh.
Yeah, there's just so much going on right now. And as you said, it is a lot of, like, preemptive setting up. Like, this whole episode feels like setting up for the final half of the season.
I agree. I think it's definitely setting up for the second season. I think normally we've always talked about how with every answered question, we have so many questions and we want to keep learning. This episode, I felt like I didn't have questions about like where character storylines were going to go. I was like, please break this down in simple terms for me, because I get what you're saying, but it's still like completely out there.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But obviously we're going to learn way more about it as these characters develop. And we've even saw some new characters this week. We saw Henry's son.
Yeah.
Wendell. Who wanted to make it to level 4 on his video game.
Yes.
Such a teenager.
You can tell they had a strained relationship, though.
Mm-hmm.
Henry clearly doesn't spend a lot of time with his son for reasons we don't know yet. Mm. And it's felt. His son...
Well, it seems like
he
Henry is like on this. There's a search for fatherhood.
Yes.
In this episode,
yes.
Like a big, like that was a major theme, right?
Because
Henry was searching for answers on his father, right? And they're both seeking this connection,
right? And it's
Oh no, I was just going to say, like, you can tell that there is definitely a strained relationship between them, and maybe Wendell even harbors some resentment towards Henry, because it does seem kind of weird that out of nowhere he's like, hey, come to Castle Rock, come to Maine.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, even as a viewer, I was like, is this just because you want your son to see your mom? Is this going to come up later in the series? Like, is Wendell important other than just being your son?
Well, he did kind of pawn him off on his grandma, didn't he?
Yeah.
He's
like,
hey,
wild goose chase.
Hey, I'm so happy you're here. Here's your grandma. See you later.
Yes. I'm wondering if he's also feeling a little bit guilty because he... It's funny that he doesn't remember anything about his father, except that he supposedly loves him. He comes to find out that he hates him. It's possible that he's feeling some guilt for not being there for his son as much because he's realizing that it's possible that his father and that he and his father didn't have the best relationship.
Yeah, he got all that from Molly, right?
Molly, yeah. How about Molly? Although Wendell showed up beforehand, but
yeah, but just that later on happened. Yeah, that was. Well, we can talk about that later.
We'll get to that. It was nice seeing not only the character of Wendell, but that actor again, Chosen Jacobs, because he was also in It. He played Mike, so yeah. That was nice to see him in the Stephen King universe again.
Back again,
yeah.
Dropping the actors, awesome.
Yeah, and there was definitely a line in there that 100% to me felt like there was resentment. I forgot exactly what Henry's previous line was, but the line Wendell was, it was something on the lines of like, oh, we don't make it down there enough. And Wendell was like,
yeah, a lot of people don't make it.
Oh, it runs in the family, kind of meaning like Henry's not around.
Yes.
Yeah.
So definitely feeling some resentment there.
He did immediately apologize after that, though.
Maybe so there's a reason.
Yeah. I feel like later on in the episode, too, they actually had a conversation, you know, about Henry's dad and about what his real parents were like. I thought that was a pretty interesting scene, too.
Yeah, that was. And it seemed because his son was looking around his room and Wendell, you know, he definitely had a thought of a moment of like, wow, these are not his real parents.
Yeah.
And so he had to ask about it.
And it seemed like he really wanted to know more about Henry too. Cause he started off by asking him when he was adopted, which we now know he was adopted at five.
At five.
Mm-hmm. Right. So as estranged as they are, I think that Wendell still wants some sort of connection with his father.
Oh yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's written in there.
And he is there.
Yeah.
You know, it does say something because he could have, you know, chosen not to go. I'm sure his mother wouldn't have been like, no, you have to. If he's really like, Mom, I feel very uncomfortable with this, unless she's a terrible parent.
Probably
but, you know.
Safer for him not to be there.
Probably, yeah.
Like you should have stayed.
Cass LeGault in the chat pointed out, where was Wendell at the end when Pangborn found the house a mess?
Ooh,
he was supposed to be there.
Exactly. That was definitely a thought that I had. Like, where was Wendell?
Well, maybe something happened to him as well.
We don't know.
And that is something we also will get into. And I think that's a great segue into just talking about Ruth in general. Mm-hmm. Her character really got to shine in this episode.
Yes.
This is the most we have really gotten to see of her. Not just of her going around, like, being in her garden. Like, she had a really nice monologue, kind of saying to Wendell how she handles being in the past and the present.
And she's very aware of it, which is interesting.
Chess game, yeah.
Yeah, she still knows that it's happening. She knows that she's going back and forth. And when she first had the chess pieces, I had the thought of, you know, and I don't know if this is something just that's really old school because I brought it up and my fiancé didn't know what I was talking about. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious if you will. Where people, to help them remember something, tie a string to their finger.
Yeah.
And you associate. Okay, good.
Yeah,
so you associate.
No, explain this to me.
So, okay, so some people have, some haven't. And I actually don't even remember where I heard this or where I must have read about it. But you, in order to help you remember something, you know, you have to take something out of the oven or pick somebody up at the airport. Some people will tie a string to their finger and they associate that string with the memory. So when they look at the string, they remember that thing that they were supposed to do.
It's a thing that baby boomers used to do a lot before smartphones.
Okay.
Before you can say, hey, Siri, please remind me to turn off the oven. Before that's the thing that baby boomers used to do, yeah.
And so I thought it was something like that. And it's interesting because it's very, very similar.
Mm-hmm.
She sees the chess piece and it brings her back to the present. I thought that was so smart of her to think of to do herself. She's aware of what's happening, and she finds a way to bring herself back. It's amazing.
In a sense, I also thought it was kind of heartbreaking. It was very smart, but it was also kind of heartbreaking because before that monologue even happened, she tells Wendell, like, I've had this conversation with you before. So she is aware that she is losing memories, and it's probably so hard for
her. Okay, I have a question. Is she losing memories, or has she had this conversation before because she's been existing between universes?
I wondered that as well when she first said it.
Maybe she's like somewhere in between the universes, and she has had this conversation.
Who in this town is not supernatural? Like, I know we don't know yet.
Maybe everybody. Yeah.
I know. Ooh. Did anybody else notice the Tabasco sauce on the chessboard, though? I don't know.
I didn't know.
That's just something I wrote down. There was a Tabasco sauce chess piece. I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
All right, I like that.
The real important stuff.
It's the little things that I noticed.
And again, with Ruth, as we learned last week, Pangborn gets the option to save her because the kid is like, hey, I could save her. And he has a line in the very beginning where he's like, time is the enemy for her.
Mm-hmm.
And so Pangborn is so head over heels because he's waited so long to be with her that he's like, you want to know what? I know that you're some like weirdo who doesn't age, but I'm going to take you up on your offer and figure it out. And he sends him all the way up to Syracuse.
Right. Which is that Syracuse, New York? I didn't have time to check after I watched the show to get up here. But if it is.
I was assuming so.
Yeah, I thought so too. Because I know there's different random towns in all kinds of places. But if it is, that's a really long drive.
Yeah. And then we learn it's because he needs to get Dale Lacey's car. Because for some reason he needs the car. It's like
He doesn't. They don't even say that in the first scene. It's all they talk about is it was sold and sent to Syracuse. Right? They keep on talking about it, whatever it is.
I wanted to know what
ancient relic.
I know
is what I thought it was.
I love that they tell you in this episode.
Yeah, it's a nice MacGuffin, guys. Yeah. Nice MacGuffin.
Adam Morales in the chat said, when Sheriff Pangborn went to the junkyard after the kid tells him, I thought we were going to see Christine from, obviously, Christine, which would have been a cool Easter egg, which I agree with. That would have been a nice little tidbit.
There is supposedly an Easter egg there that's a possible one. And I don't know if we want to save it till the end or if you want to. Yeah. It's an interesting one. And it's very, very, like, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a very particular one.
Okay.
And somebody else pointed it out. I did not find this or know this. I read this somewhere else.
But I just found it interesting the entire time on why the kid wanted this car. Because that car is cursed. You know, that's the car that Dale Lacey drove off.
It drove up into the lake.
It's the car that he was locked up in and was his last viewing site before he was in a cage for however many years. It's like, that car is cursed. Why do you want it so badly? But, and that, again, that's just a question we don't know yet.
Oh, no, I think he told us at the end. He said it would be a monument to Lacey, right?
It
was a wild goose chase. He sent Pangborn on a wild goose chase. So that he can do whatever it was.
Get him out of the way.
Get him out of the way for the day and do whatever he was going to do to Ruth and Wendell.
I find that interesting, though, because technically he didn't. When he sent him out on that initial goose chase, he wasn't. What I'm saying is, Henry put him in the psychiatric hospital.
Right.
So when he was on that goose chase, he was pretty much locked up. Like, he wasn't near Ruth.
Right.
But then obviously when
you hear on the
radio, it went up in flames, people are dead.
Six people are dead and one escaped. And of course you're like, who could that possibly be?
I thought they said four escaped.
Oh, did they say four?
Four escaped. So there's three out there that we don't
three
even
other
know.
Ones. Great. I wonder if they're gonna come
more
into play.
Fantastic.
Yeah. Oh, Castle Rock.
Oh, this town. I basically learned to, like, every little thing in the show you need to pay extreme attention to.
Yes.
Because it definitely comes back into play.
Yes.
Like, I heard that and I was like, this isn't just some ordinary thing. It's coming back later on.
Yeah. What about when that bird, like, fell from the sky right into the...
And like, I initially thought that it was him causing more chaos being there, but they also said it's the second one this week.
Yeah.
So that happened before he was there. I don't know. I don't know what that is.
So many questions.
I know.
No questions, Castle Rock.
I just found it so interesting that he's kind of been hanging around the Weaver household when Henry, this is a guy who was in prison, Pangborn, you know this guy's deep, dark secret. Like, why are you just letting him
roam
your house?
Stare at you through your window?
So creepy.
It's very...
Oh my god, with that creepy, like, little, like, scarecrow thing that he was doing and just staring straight into him.
That's something I do appreciate about this show is because with the kid and earlier in the show with Molly and that figure, this show doesn't lean into typical like horror tropes where they do like the loud music and you're approaching and there's going to be some weird jump scare. Like, they leave it all to your imagination. Like, how would you feel if there was just some creepy guy staring at you?
Yeah.
Do any of you live in Hollywood?
No.
Oh, because it happens a lot.
I live near enough
that to get it.
I'm happy that I live in an apartment that's up. I'm high.
I think we should now go into the other part, which is Henry and this the memories that takes up a lot of this episode. But before we go into any of that, we have a very spooky announcement for you all.
Oh, spooky announcements, spooky announcements. Let's see if we have our spooky announcement music ready to go. Ooh. Hey, AfterBuzzers. Our network produces after shows for nearly all your favorite TV shows. From dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans. But we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So hit that subscribe button now for this channel and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the spookiest ESPN of TV talk. Boom.
He just wants to dance right now.
Everybody just wants to, I know, with this song you can't help it.
You can't help it.
But again, we love seeing all of the comments. We love seeing the comments in the live chat as well as on YouTube when the episode has already aired. And we like getting love giving shout outs. April and Zia, I believe you actually have a few.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in the previous episode, Panther 7 said, I actually thought his house that he went to was remembering his own birthday when watching the family and hearing the fight that his parents had. That's why he went to the roof, because that was his hiding spot, which I didn't pick up on the episode before. So quite a few people were saying that. I just chose that one, but you guys are picking up on a lot. And I just wanted to say thanks to Castle Gold, Adam Morales, Aaron Chandler, and JTE, who are all in the comments talking a bunch right now. So have anything else to say? I'll give you a shout out.
And I got a really nice message a couple of days ago from The Allocator, who was talking about how much he enjoys watching the show. And he also commented on the last episode saying, keep it up. So it was really, really sweet. And we appreciate all of you.
Yes, we love.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. We really love hearing all of your comments, hearing all of your ideas. So definitely, definitely keep it up. So, guys, let's now go into Henry's memories, because we just got done talking about the kid and how he's roaming around the Weaver household. We also kind of see that he is wearing the Henry's dad's clothes, and he starts watching all these old videotapes that Henry stumbles upon, and he kind of is confused because he doesn't remember anything that happened when he would be in the woods with his dad.
Yes.
And so now he's going on this very big backpedaling journey to try and find out what happened, even going so much to be like, hey, Mom, what happened, even though her memory's not the best either.
Which he also went at the worst time. He went and asked her in the evening when she's the worst.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, that was a bad move.
Bad move, but back in the morning.
Dude. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But he definitely was probably so curious about it. And I find it so interesting that he doesn't remember hating his father.
Yeah.
But he remembers his father. So what does he remember about him and about his childhood there before he went missing? Is it anything at all?
Well, it seemed like even what was playing on the videotape was new to him.
Right.
Like,
he didn't remember that. But it also made him feel terrible. Even though he didn't remember it, he got this, like, horrible look on his face, and he couldn't even watch it. He turned it off immediately.
Well, his father's voice on it, too.
Yeah.
It was this eerie kind of, listen, and kind of just eerie.
I'm thinking that he definitely has some trauma that he's forgotten. And he can't. Yeah, and it's just so he can't. He can't seem to get past it to remember it.
And every time he gets close, he gets the ringing in the ears too.
Yes.
Right. And it's kind of like, if you're going to get that ringing in the ears every time you get close to it, I mean, do you want to continue
right.
on?
He probably does.
Yeah. He just needs answers.
Mm-hmm. But that's obviously, I think, why he goes to Molly, because he immediately goes to her and asks, like, "Do you ever remember us doing that or anything like that?" And I think he, at this point, Henry knows that Molly can feel other people. I don't think he was going there asking her, like, oh, did you feel like what I was feeling? He was going there just like as a neighbor, like, did you ever see anything?
Right.
But of course, then she just unleashes the biggest bombshell onto him.
She actually told him.
Yeah, I was not expecting that.
At that moment, I wasn't expecting that.
No, not in this episode. I was expecting it possibly later, and maybe another episode or two.
And Henry handles it pretty well. I mean, he's just like, you're crazy. I mean, I was expecting him to yell or be angry at her, but just she's crazy.
Yeah. Which is interesting because she has told him enough stuff that only he would know that I feel like he should. I know that that's a crazy thing, but I feel like he should revisit that.
I think that's part of his struggle for the character as well, is like he's trying to come up with some sort of logical explanation for things in an illogical world.
Right.
Yeah. And he's still unaccepting of this illogical world. He's trying to be more pragmatic about it and trying to, you know, follow the video camera down the path to get to the place to see where, you know, which is a pretty smart move. You know, even the way that he tries to get the battery to work again on the camera is like such a pragmatic thing to do. I see myself doing the same thing with cameras, right?
Mm-hmm. I do that with my remote.
Right. That with your remote. Yeah. You take the batteries switch them back out, you rub them, you put them back in.
And then it works again.
Yeah. But he won't buy into the supernatural part of Castle Rock just yet. Like, he won't accept it.
Even if he won't accept the supernatural part of it, I'm surprised that he didn't get a little bit more upset, because the way Molly was approaching it was, we did this together.
Right.
When I pulled that plug, I looked down and saw your hand, kind of thing. She's basically kind of saying, like, hey, you did this. And so I'm surprised he didn't get a little bit more upset that she was, like, accusing him. And then she, you know, she has a really good point where she's like, I wasn't there with you, but I felt what you were feeling. You were afraid, and then you were relieved. So she's basically, like, trying to tell him, like,
you're an accomplice.
Yeah. Well, not even that, but, like, you didn't like your dad.
Mm-hmm. Well, she literally told him you wanted him dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's very telling. I wonder, and I a little bit wonder, we might be going ahead with this, if the reason he was taking Henry into the woods, obviously he was obsessed with the schisma. Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
A schisma, the voice of what she thought was the voice of God. I'm wondering if he went that last time that he took Henry into the woods where he disappeared to correct him.
Ooh. That's what I was wondering.
Yeah, too. And maybe that's why he freaked out. He's like, you're not going to stick hot pokers in my ears and make me deaf, sir. Yeah,
by the way, isn't there an easier way to do that? Why has it got to be a hot poker, God's sakes?
Yeah, that seems very painful.
That seems like a terrible idea.
I don't think there's a good way to lose your hearing, though.
Very true.
I think this is great segue, though, into talking about the schisma, as well as Odin and Willy, were the two guys the two guys lurking around at Pangborn's speech in the previous episode, and then lurking around during the reburial of Henry's father. Mm-hmm. And again, I was looking, I'm like, it's a Culkin.
Yes, it's a Culkin. Same thought. I was like, that looks like Macaulay Culkin.
It's Rory Culkin, as well as CJ Jones, who was also in Baby Driver. When he showed up and started signing, I loved that. I absolutely love it. Just a little like side note, I love ASL and love seeing deaf actors shining like that.
Fantastic.
Well, he's so expressive too. Yes. It was like, when he was doing the whole thing, he was like, he was giving you such a wonderful visual.
Yes.
To, you know, yeah. Props to that dude.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a really good performance. Yeah. And also props to Rory Culkin on that one as well, because he did a very good job of, you could tell he was very, very afraid of getting corrected that night as well. You can see that's not something he was particularly looking forward to, and I almost feel like he was forced into that a little bit.
Don't see how you can look forward to having a hot poker stuck in your ear.
Mm-hmm. He's still willing to, like, he was there fully ready to accept that I'm going to be corrected.
Yes, he could be scared, but Stockholm syndrome a little bit, maybe.
But in this encounter, we also learned that Odin knew Henry's dad. And this is the information dump that just short-circuited in me. I don't know about anyone listening or any of you guys, but it definitely did for me. Because he basically goes into saying, like, oh, the ringing that you hear, it's the schism, it's the... He says it exactly. He says that it is the sound of the universe, or it's the nature of the schisma is what he likes to call it, and it's the sound of the universe.
Quantum interrelated totalities operating in parallel. Other heres, other nows.
Wow.
All possible past, all possible presents. The schisma is the sound of the universe trying to reconcile that.
Got all that?
Yeah. I like how all of our notes, I think, are just the direct quotes that he's saying.
Yes, because you had to.
Yes.
Had to. I mean, I mean,
a very fancy way of saying different realities and different planes of the universe overlapping in one place.
Right.
That's kind of what kind you're of saying there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It sounds like an engine that's like squeaking when it's, you know,
rubbing.
When it's engine parts are rubbing up against each other.
Cass said the schisma is actually nanoscale turbulences caused by a tilt in our quantum totalities upright and parallel. That didn't help me either.
I'm glad there
That's
are.
What I heard, yes.
But she's like, duh, obviously, this is what it means.
I don't know what you're talking about. That makes perfect sense.
Yep.
It makes perfect sense, yeah.
It's yeah. I totally got that on my first try, guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
totally,
yeah.
Totally.
But again, Odin expresses to Henry that his dad would go into the woods because it was where he would hear the voice of God. And it's... And towards the end of his life, he came up with a device called the filter, but didn't have a chance to build it. But Odin, at this point, has. Mm-hmm. And then we kind of come to learn that the filter is like a weird sound booth box in an RV.
Which is not what I was expecting. No. I was like, I thought it was going to be some sort of contraption. Maybe something like, with like straps.
Yeah. I was like, are you going to go in there and do some ADR work? What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Some voiceover work?
I don't know, like something you've actually put on your head?
Yeah.
Or something like that? But the thing I found interesting, I don't know if you guys caught this, was when Odin was talking about the ringing in his ears, he literally pointed to his right ear.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure in one of the previous episodes, it was Henry's right ear that he was complaining about in hearing the sounds. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
That's a good one, yeah. I wonder if that's going to come into play later.
Yeah, because I wonder if that's kind of how all these people who can hear it through their right ear.
I wonder if Lacey heard the schisma. Because he talked a lot about hearing the voice of God, right?
Yes.
Ooh.
That told him to go find the kid.
Told him to go find the kid. So I'm wondering if that is the schisma as well.
Possibly. And I wonder, this can't be a normal ringing. It has to be, I mean, they sort of reveal it to us as a normal ringing, but it must be something different. Otherwise, it's just a ringing in your ear. Because I get that all the time.
Well, it's
you have it too.
Well, there is like a low frequency thing that some people, that only certain people can hear, and that's been talked about worldwide for a while. There's like this whole other test thing too, where you can hear two sounds and you hear one sound, but it sounds like two different words. The Laurel and Yanny thing. Oh. That's it. Yeah.
What did you guys hear?
Laurel.
Laurel.
I heard then Yanny.
And then Yanny.
I never heard Laurel. I could only hear Yanny.
So weird.
Guys, what did you... Everyone watching or listening, what did you hear?
What did you hear, Laurel or Yanny?
I wish I could put a poll in here or something.
We need to end this debate
Twitch
right now.
Twitch has that capability. Figure that out.
Let us know. We'll get back to you next week. But no, to your point, Jorge, Odin did mention that most people can't hear it. Some people hear it only once in a while. And for those people who can hear it, it's deafening to them. So if you're hearing it, it's obviously not just some kind of normal ringing in the ear that any ordinary person would experience.
It has to be a different kind. Yeah. And he was clearly, when he was in the filter, he was also seeing things that was going along with the ringing. They were just flashes, so I couldn't catch what they were.
Well, he was kept in an echo chamber,
right?
So whatever sound that he's going to start hearing is going to start bouncing back off.
And give him images.
And that's going to give him images.
Exactly. Ooh.
Spooky.
I know.
What I'm interested in is because before this episode, I thought Henry was special. And clearly there is something special about him, but I thought the ringing in the ear was unique to him. Now we're learning that there might be some kind of society of people that this happens to. So now I'm very intrigued to see how many more people this is affecting and if they're going to do Odin's kind of weird fixing solution by just deafening everybody.
So he's just traveling around the country in a Winnebago, like putting hot pokers in people's ears.
He's getting followers, or disciples. He's gathering people.
Because that's how he introduces Willie, right?
Right.
Willie is my
protege. Is that what the word he used? Yeah.
Cass said Henry's dad compared the schematics for the filter to the directions Noah got from God. And if you remember earlier, Lacey also compared the cage the kid was in to Noah's Ark. And also, everyone says they heard Laurel.
Very good. I think everyone they heard the Yanny. Why? Why?
See, I heard it after a while, but I heard Laurel first. But thank you for settling the score, everyone in the comments. All right. So, guys, I know we've talked a lot about memories with Ruth and with Henry and with the schisma and all that's going on. But before we get into any of our fun Easter egg hunts and our big news, any final thoughts?
Ooh. So many questions. I say this every episode. I have so many questions.
I think that's what the show is, why it's so successful, because it gives you answers that just beg more questions, you know?
And yes.
Inquiring minds want to know what's going on. So I'm hooked on for next week for sure.
Oh, yeah. I really think Henry's going to revisit Molly. I think that the temptation's going to be too strong there, and he's going to uncover some stuff that's going to lead him back to Molly, and they're going to discover more things together. I think that I think he needs her.
They're connected somehow. Yeah. They have been.
And it's a special one. She says she feels it with other people, but with him it's particularly strong. So I feel like that has to mean something for later episodes.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah. April, any final thoughts?
Yeah, I'm just hoping Sissy Spacek gets more, because I definitely don't think she is dead in the next episode.
We forgot to mention that, kind of, how. Yes. Or did we mention that?
Well, the end.
That she got attacked.
That she got attacked.
Possibly.
Yes.
He had blood, but whose blood was it?
The blood was coming from, like, up the shirt, too, down the sleeve.
So maybe she cut him.
So there wasn't blood on his hands, per se.
No, it was dripping out of his shirt, it looks.
So he was the one that was cut.
Possibly.
Or it could be Wendell. We don't know where he is either.
Yeah.
Those are my final thoughts on the episode, is what happened to Ruth and Wendell, because they already teased us last week with thinking that something might have happened to Ruth. And again, this week, so it's like, I don't know, could she, something really bad have happened to her? Could she still be like holding on for dear life? And we see that at the beginning of the next episode. So that's my final thoughts. It's like, I want to know.
All I'm saying is, one episode, you have the woman jump off a bridge. The next episode, she's getting,
woman.
Come on.
I know, come on, guys.
She's very strong and resilient.
Yeah. I think this is a great time to go into our Easter eggs for this episode. But before we get to that, I do just want to bring everyone's attention to iTunes. I know that we have talked a lot about YouTube and seeing your comments there, but you can also catch us on iTunes. You can give us a rating, you can give us a comment, and we love seeing those as well, and we would love to get more so we can give more shout-outs. So like us on iTunes, watch us on YouTube, and all that good stuff. All right. Zia,
okay.
What do you got for us today?
So this Easter egg from episode 6, I found this on Vulture. And this is a very, very in-depth one that maybe some people got. I never would have got. This is definitely the biggest stretch. And it's a strange coincidence, because stick with us, because it's an amazing Easter egg, if it is one. So when Pangborn is wandering the salvage yard, when he's looking for Warden Lacey's truck, there is a shot of a school bus with MB-117 on it. So in 1811, Ludwig van Beethoven wrote his 117th opus. So it contains the coding OP-117 in most iterations of its title. And guess what it's called? King Stephen. So that's just like a very, very, like,
very roundabout one.
Yes. All right. But if it is intended to be an Easter egg, that's a really cool one.
Yeah. All right.
Like, shout out to everyone who are finding these Easter eggs, because some of them are not as black and white.
Right. So they're just like little ones. And then the other ones were just kind of overall ones. I think we already discussed this one, because this episode, at least from what I read, unless other people caught other ones, there weren't too many in this one. But this one we already talked about before. It's not direct to filter, but something that needs mentioning. It's the 27 years when he gets locked in the trunk, and when he's released, also 27 years when it resurfaces. But we already did that. So that's it for this episode.
Cass LeGault said the radio station they use in the show, 100.3, is owned by Stephen King.
Ooh.
Oh, really?
She has so much knowledge. Like, I feel like she's the ultimate Stephen King fan.
That's awesome.
That is a really, really good one. And again, like, if anyone out there watching or listening, if you are watching the show and you are finding these Easter eggs, please let us know. Because we had mentioned earlier, there are a lot that kind of just fly over our heads, but we want to know how many are there and how many you are catching.
Yes.
So definitely, definitely let us know.
Adam Morales said there's a sign that Molly has that says live like a king.
Nice.
I have to go back and look for that now. I'm so curious. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Zia, for those Easter eggs. Now, at the top of the show, we did tease that we have some big news. Some of you may have already heard this, but it's still very exciting nonetheless, and it's a big deal for the show. But we're getting a season two, guys. Yay!
So excited.
Yeah, we're getting a season two, and they just announced it, so there's not too much details. But there's some things that we can still talk about. In one particular interview I read, it said that, I believe it was The Hollywood Reporter, said some sources say that because it's an anthology series, none of the actors from this season will be returning. But I don't think that's true.
Well, yeah. Maybe they'll come back as Easter eggs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems that that world, that Stephen King universe, likes to use their actors in different parts, you know. So, I mean, that can't be true. They'll just come back as different. The actors will probably come back just as different characters.
Ooh,
yeah, that's what
I would like to see. That
see, what I think. It could very much be like a Ryan Murphy American Horror Story kind of vibe. Yeah. I think at the very least, Bill Skarsgård and Melanie Lynskey will be back. At the very least, those two, I think, will continue out through the seasons. Everyone else might come in here and there. But I think they have very strong characters this season, as well as all the other characters are really great. But those two are very strong characters. And I think those actors would love to keep coming back to be in Stephen King's universe.
Well, just based off of today's episode, too, and the way that they opened it up to the different universes by talking about the schism and everything, you can see, and then also with Sissy Spacek's character, Ruth, talking about the chess pieces and how she's had this conversation before, I could see her coming back in multiple universes as well.
Yeah, and that's absolutely, that opens us up to more universes, guys. Yes. There's so much that can happen now.
And then something else that I read, and I believe, April, you have that particular article up. Mm-hmm. There was a very interesting piece of information regarding this show where it basically said that this was the most popular Hulu original or something like that.
Castle Rock became the most successful first season original launch in terms of consumption and reach on the day of its July 25th premiere. The series also has the highest view-through rates for a Hulu original in its first and second week since its launch.
Yeah, you guys did
awesome.
That.
Yeah.
And I love hearing that. But when I first read that, I thought that was a bit surprising because Hulu also has The Handmaid's Tale, which is, you know, Golden Globe winning, Emmy winning show. Mm-hmm. But I also think Castle Rock just came in with a huge, huge audience because of Stephen King and because of all of his universes.
And because of J.J. Abrams, and possibly, J. J. Abrams, that gets out. Yeah. So it already had
definitely the fan base.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's like really great to hear that it had that much on a pilot, too, because pilots are always tricky.
Yeah, they're always kind of hit or miss.
Yeah, but on a pilot that it had that much reception is so great to hear.
But that particular pilot was a really good pilot,
too. It
was
good.
There's probably a lot of good word of mouth around it, too, because I know I've been telling everybody. I've been telling everybody, well, you got to watch Castle Rock. It's so good. So,
But yeah. So, again, we are getting a season two, guys. And
yay!
I can't wait to what it's going to be like because I don't think it's going to be anything like this season.
No, it's going to be a whole other story. I'm just as excited for it.
Well, that kind of excites me also for this storyline to know that there will be a beginning, middle, and end. We'll get a nice bow tie on the ribbon at the end of it, and we'll have the answers to the questions that we're all wondering right now.
In due time, just a few more weeks to go.
Just hang in there, people.
Speaking about those answers and those questions, that's a great segue into some of our predictions for next week's episode.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. This episode, I feel like, completely shattered the theory I've been saying for the past 3 weeks. So someone else, while I capture my thoughts.
Okay. Well, I guess I already kind of said mine. I thought that Henry was going to end up going back to Molly because he's going to need her. And I still think that, and this might be shattered also because the show does that to you, but I still think that we're going to find out that there's some horrible trauma coming from Henry's father, and he was trying to
correct him,
and that's why Henry pushed him off the cliff and ran away. But he obviously hated him before that, so I think there was some other abuse going on there as well.
I think we might get some more answers about that box behind in the Desjardins yard with the spooky cereal bowl, that stale cereal, right? And how maybe it might be connected to the filter. Because
maybe it belongs to another universe and
maybe
just like popped in there.
Maybe. You know, I think we might get some answers on Henry's connection to the box, the filter, and his dad. And something, there's something in the middle of all that.
I think, like I said before, I think Ruth is definitely still alive just because we are finally scratching the surface of this character and getting to know her. I think she's going to have like a big episode coming up, like focusing on her, like Molly and Henry have had.
Yeah, I definitely agree with you. I think at the very least, at the beginning of next week's episode, we will find out that she is alive, whether she's, you know, scared and healthy or if she's something bad did happen to her. Because this is an anthology series and because we pretty much know this season is going to have a beginning, middle, and end, I wouldn't be surprised if the writers took some big risks and maybe killed off a character. I don't want to say that that's going to happen because I think all of them are really great. Yeah. But I think, again, because it's an anthology and because there's so much chaos going on, it's very possible that something can happen to somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of, as we've seen, it already has.
Yeah.
Dennis, we've already seen that.
Pangborn.
It could be Pangborn.
Pangborn's going down.
Warden Lacey. Some bad stuff happened to him.
You know what's really funny that you say that? Because of all the characters I'm thinking that could be killed off, I'm thinking it could be him.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
That's the first one that came to mind when Veronica was talking about it. I was like, who could they kill off? And it would suck, but it would make sense.
Right. And it wouldn't take away from the rest of the story.
I feel like maybe it's because he's the one that has someone he really is fighting for, but he's also one of the few characters that doesn't have some type of supernatural ability. Like, he's just kind of a retired cop.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, Henry has the schisma, as we learned. There might be something supernatural with Ruth. We know Molly hears voices and feels feelings.
The kid is the kid.
The kid is the kid. There could be something there.
Yeah. Cass said, I think the kid is channeling Henry's father because their Twitter asked, whose life is the kid piecing together?
Oh,
that's such a good theory.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, thank you for bringing that to light. Wow. Oh, my gosh.
See, now there's a whole bunch more questions, and we have two minutes left. Goodness gracious.
My God, I know. We will definitely have to revisit some of that. But unfortunately, that is all the time that we have for today. Everyone, where can the fans find you on the internet?
They can find me at The El Jorge on all of my social media. Also, I do the Queen of the South show here at AfterBuzz on Thursday nights.
All right, you can find me on Instagram, I suppose Twitter as well, at Zia_Land, it's spelled XIA, and you can find me tomorrow night for The Sinner at 7 p.m.
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at April13Dawn.
And again, I'm Veronica. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @itsme_Veronica_V. You can also catch me on the Attack on Titan after show Sundays at 6 p.m. Pacific time, as well as the Outpost after show Tuesdays at 10 p.m. But again, I just want to say thank you for everyone tuning into our live chat, leaving us comments on YouTube and iTunes. We appreciate it so much. Be sure to check us out again for episode 7.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.